From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Well, hello listener, welcome back to The Voice of Indonesia with English Service. Today it is Thursday, September the 26th, 2019, where I am, Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 1 hour. As usual, we got so many good infos about Indonesia and also some entertaining musics. So, let's begin first with the news. So stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo discusses investment management. Indonesia and European Union strengthen economic cooperation through a RISE Plus. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo discussed the management of investment in a bid to improve the investment climate. That was stated by President Joko Widodo in a limited meeting with the theme Management and Investment Requirements at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. He pointed out that the government wants to provide guarantees and legal certainty in investment to the business people. The discussion was carried out to oversee the progress of enhancing the ease of business and investment. Previously, after a limited meeting on the improvement of investment ecosystem on Wednesday, head of the Investment Coordinating Board PKPM, Thomas Lembong mentioned 5 investors' complaints to Indonesia, one of which is overlapping regulations. In addition, tax incentive needs to be lightened for investors and they have difficulty managing land for business and the labor capabilities need to be improved. Indonesia and the European Union have strengthened economic cooperation through the Asian Regional Integration Support Indonesia Trade Support Facility, or abbreviated to ARISE Plus Indonesia, a 4-year grant program worth 15 million euro or nearly 232 billion rupiah. Escorted by Antaranus Agency Director General of National Export Development at the Ministry of Trade, Dodi Edward pointed out. At the inauguration of the ARISE Plus Indonesia event in Jakarta on Wednesday, that ARISE Plus Indonesia is aimed at increasing the export competitiveness and Indonesia's integration into the value chain global. Dodi further said, the government is pleased that the European Union and Indonesia continue to build strong commercial relations because the European Union is one of the most important sources of foreign direct investment for Indonesia. The Comprehensive Economic Partnerships Agreement CEPA between the government of Indonesia and the European Union, initiated since April 2016, marks the beginning of a new era of cooperation between Indonesia and the European Union. The document on the scope of the cooperation is intended as a basis for starting CEPA negotiations. From an Indonesian perspective, the Indonesia and European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnerships Agreement, IEU-CEPA, is a reflection of Indonesia's commitment to realize Indonesia as a more open and competitive economy. This was stated by Bambang Priambodo, Deputy of Economic Affairs at the Ministry of Planning and National Development in a seminar, the first national dissemination for aid program in the ARISE Plus Indonesia trade sector in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also said that Indonesia and the European Union are negotiating a comprehensive economic partnerships agreement to facilitate and create new market access.
Indonesia and the European Union is in the process of negotiating a comprehensive economic partnership agreement with the main objective to facilitate and create a new market access, increase trade between the EU and Indonesia, as well as
Bambang Priambodo further explained that Indonesia is a member of the G20 and Indonesia's economy is considered as the 16th largest in the world. He also viewed that with GDP growth of 5.6% over the last 9 years and a population of nearly 270 million, Indonesia needs to develop sustainable measures. Bambang also said that Indonesia still needs to invest $1,000 million in infrastructure in the next 5 years from the private sector, and mainly from foreign investors, because the government can only cover and provide less than 40% of this amount. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Entering the second day of the 74th session of the United Nations General Assembly in New York, USA on Tuesday, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held 7 bilateral meetings with partners from Romania, Algeria, Solomon Islands, Guatemala, Estonia, Czech Republic, as well as with the President of the UN General Assembly. In a written statement from the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs on Wednesday, she emphasized that to enhance economic cooperation, Indonesia would continue to encourage the establishment of bilateral trade instruments such as Preferential Trade Agreement PTA and cooperation with private parties and state-owned enterprises SOEs. Minister Retno added with Algeria, for example, Indonesia proposes that the two countries have PTA. She also expressed the desire of WIKA and Pertamina to expand their business engagement in Algeria, and the presence of these two companies in Algeria has received praise and is a clear example of the success of Indonesian SOEs abroad. Before Guatemala and Czech foreign ministers, Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized the importance of starting new initiatives to encourage economic interaction between Indonesia and friendly countries in the Central and Eastern European region, as well as South America and the Caribbean. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani urged stakeholders to build more digital infrastructure as the digital economy will play a major role in the country's economic growth. She also said that many parts of Indonesia haven't enjoyed the positive impact of the digital economy because of a lack of infrastructure, such as the internet and electricity. As quoted by Jakarta Post on Wednesday, she explained that the government needs to ensure that all parts of Indonesia could be connected through the internet so that the country could reap the benefits of the digital technology. She also said that some cities still need digital infrastructure to allow them to use the internet, adding that the government aims to complete coverage. The Ministry of Industry is creating new breakthroughs in industrial development by issuing policies that can accelerate national industry development and attract investment through the creation of the National Industrial Information System, SINAS. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto explained in Jakarta on Wednesday that the efforts is to support the government's priority program in preparing the Industrial Era 4.0, which is in line with the direction of the roadmap of Making Indonesia 4.0. The government continues to simplify the regulation and improve public services through SINAS. He also said that the innovation and simplification in regulations have been carried out in stages by his ministry. The Asian Development Bank (ADB) affirmed that robust domestic consumption will maintain the growth rate of the Indonesian economy during 2019 and 2020. As quoted Antara News Agency, head of the ADB Representative Office in Indonesia, Winfried Wicklund, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that strong consumption would help in Indonesia to continue its economic growth for this year and next year. Consumer spending is expected to maintain strong growth, backed by a rise in household incomes, employment, and low inflation. He estimated inflation to stay stable at 3.2% for 2019 and 3.3% by 2020, so that it can help maintain the momentum of private spending. He also stated that the core inflation may be maintained and food prices will not change. Wicklund added that despite weakening growth among trade partners that influences Indonesia's trade balance, the current account deficit is estimated to remain in control at 2.7% of the gross domestic products in 2019. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's today's commentary, and it is titled KPK Law Revision and Criminal Code Draft Bill Must Involve All Stakeholders. Ahead of inauguration of the President and Vice President in October, the condition in some cities across Indonesia is heating up. There has been strong polemic about moving the capital, forest and land fires in Sumatra, Kalimantan and Java, as well as the actions related to Papuan issue and the latest one, protests against draft bills made the House of the Representatives. The dynamics that occur in Indonesia today are part of democracy and the follow-up of Reformation era or reforms that began in the late 90s. The Indonesian people chose reforms to make democratic changes instead of revolution, because if there is a revolution, the Indonesian nation could set back. However, the actions carried out more recently can disturb the people of Indonesia, because in almost every major city throughout the country, university students, senior high school students, and farmers stage a demonstration. This action is reminiscent of the actions that occurred back in 1998. In the discussion on national television, legal expert Supardi Ahmad said that more recently, the community has been concerned about the planned revision of the Corruption Eradication Commission's law, or KPK, and the draft of Criminal Codebook, or KUHP, that would be completed by the House of Representatives. These points are the main focus of the demonstrators. Supardi Ahmad then hopes that all demonstrators' demands must be accommodated. All relevant stakeholders must engage and take part in reviewing and disseminating information to the public regarding the contents of the draft of Criminal Codebook and revision of the KPK law. In this regard, the government has issued a communique to delay discussion and endorsement along with the House of Representatives. With all-inclusive participation by related stakeholders, the executive, legislative, judiciary, academics and multidisciplinary experts, the problems of Indonesian people related to legal products can be resolved together. Thus, all legal products that will be produced can be understood and accepted by all groups towards a just and prosperous Indonesia. And listener, that was commentary today.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on September 26, 1960 on Statistics Day. To fulfill the recommendation of United Nations in order every member country to hold simultaneously population census, Indonesian government enacted Law No. 6/1960 on census as substitute of Volkstelling, Ordonantis 1930. Thus, to fulfill the need for preparation of planning for universe planning, on September 26, 1960, Indonesian government enacted Law No. 7/1960 on statistic as substitution of statistic Urdonanti 1934. The law was arranged in detail the implementation of statistics and Central Statistics Agency organization. In August 1996, Indonesian second president at the time, Suharto, determined the date of promulgation. The law number 7/1960 on the statistic as Statistic Day, which is conducted nationally. The next event is that in 1997, Garuda airplane crashed in Deli Serdang. Garuda Indonesia Flight GA-152 is an Airbus A300B4 plane which crashed at Buah Nabar in Sibolangit District, Deli Serdang Regency, North Sumatra, Indonesia, or around 32 kilometers from Polonia Airport and 45 kilometers from Medan when the plane would land at the airport on September 26, 1997. The accident killed all people, which consisted of 222 passengers and 12 crews. It was the worst accident in Indonesian history. The last event was in 2007 on World Contraception Day. Campaign of World Contraception Day, or WCD, was launched for the first time throughout the world on September 26, 2007. The commemoration of the day was a global campaign whose vision is that every pregnancy is desirable. The World Contraception Day aims to enhance awareness of the use of contraception and effort of young generation to get information on heart of sexual matter and reproduction. The momentum of the commemoration of the day was also used to give education related to the sex and family planning in a bid to improve people's awareness. To enhance awareness on contraception and health reproduction is expected to prevent pregnancy which is not planned, abortion, and spread of sexual diseases. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Thank you very much for you who are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. Next, we have information about Indonesia in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's topic of My Indonesia titled Commission 7 of the House, urges Minister of Environment and Forestry mention the name of company involved forest and land fire. The National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, said that from January to August this year, the area of burned land reached 328,724 hectares. There are at least six provinces, including the severe category of land fires, namely Riau, Jambi, South Sumatra, Central Kalimantan, West Kalimantan, and South Kalimantan. The report of BNPB said that the agency has successfully detected more than 250,000 hotspots throughout Indonesian regions. The chairman of the House Commission 7, Syaikhul Islam, in Jakarta on Monday, September 23, said that in addition to environmental and ecosystem damages, the fire also caused health problems, acute respiratory infections or ISPA, and other disruptions of communities' activity such as education, economy, and social. Syaikhul asked Minister of Environment and Forestry to mention the name of companies or corporations involved on the forest and land fires clearly. Commission 7 also asked the ministry to immediately identify and collecting and announcing the companies or corporations involved on the forest and land fires. All findings in the field should be submitted clearly to the public. The Commission also expects law enforcement to immediately take action on all violated companies. As chairperson of the House of Representatives Commission 7, Syaikhul encouraged the government to carry out strict supervision to the companies in carrying out its business activities and asking for legal liability if the companies are proven to burn forest. This is confirmed in Article 67 of Law No. 32, 2009, concerning environmental protection and management, which requires everyone, including companies, to maintain the preservation of environmental functions. Commission 7 also encouraged the government to immediately create mechanism as well as procedure in detail about court decision executions forcing companies to pay for environmental losses and the cost of environmental recovery. The compensation can be used to recover the damaged environment due to forest fire so that the right of people on the good and healthy environment can be fulfilled. That was My Indonesia.
Tiada kata yang dapat ku ucap saat kau pergi. Ku hanya diam menatap langkahmu meninggalkan kita. Walau berat hati tak apa, karena ku tahu pasti ada tantangan yang berat di setiap perjalanan yang hebat. Takkan berakhir di sini, semuanya akan jadi lebih baik. Walau kita tidak lagi berlari bersama lagi, tetapi doaku ini selalu untukmu. Sampai suatu hari nanti kita akan bersama lagi, berbagi cerita terbaik dari hidup ini. Hanya diam menatap langkahmu meninggalkan kita. Pasti ada tantangan yang berat di setiap perjalanan yang hebat. Takkan berakhir di sini, semuanya akan jadi
still with us in the Voice of Indonesia with English service. Next, we will invite you to go across Indonesia in Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in this edition of Indonesian Wonder, I invite you to go down Pepe River in Boyolali, Central Java. Pepe River is located at Tawang Sari Village, Teras, Boyolali, Central Java. In the past, the river became the target of sand and stone diggers as a livelihood of most Tawang Sari villagers. The condition was exacerbated by low awareness and environment so that the river, which flowing from Mount Merbabu until Bengawan Solo River, is full of plastic garbage. Seeing the condition, a group of society who joined in the river care community finally stopped the digging activity at the river for the sake of environmental preservation. The community initiated the development of river tubing with rafting concept. Pepe River Tour is unlike other natural tours because it uses used tire. The visitors sit on used big rubber tire, then floated and washed away by river currents as far as 1.5 kilometers for 1.5 hours. When enjoying Pepe River Tour activity, you will feel the sensation of bouncing into the rock, plunging into rapids until being overturned, and plunging into the river. I suggest you do not forget to stop at many interesting spots for selfie. You can enjoy all the fun by only paying 40,000 rupiah to 45,000 rupiah per person. The ticket is included for safety facility and to taste typical culinary of Boyolali, such as wedang jahe or ginger drink and bobor soup. The Pepe River Tour is located at Ngebrak Floodgate Area, Tawangsari Village, which is about 1 km from Solo Semarang Highway. The fun tour at Pepe River still continue. Around 1 km from the location of river tubing, there is available EduPark Campbell 2 for the visitors. In addition to natural tour, such as outbound and farming, the Campbell 2 tour package also introduces integrated agriculture, which produces biogas from cattle dung. There is also integrated garbage processing area, namely Berkah Asri Mandiri. Not only receive garbage from residents, the EduPark activities also routinely conduct cleaning activities twice a week. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Cintaku.
Listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us because next we have interesting information in or about Indonesia in the miscellany. Stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Smart SIM. On September 22nd, Traffic Corps Indonesian Police launched Smart Driving License, or Smart SIM. The launching coincides with the 64th Bayangkara of Traffic anniversary at Bung Karno Stadium in Jakarta. Head of Traffic Corps Police Inspector General Refdi Andri revealed that there are some main advantages of the Smart SIM. First, the Smart SIM records drivers or riders' forensic data. Then, if the driver or rider disobeys the traffic rules, this is also recorded in the Smart SIM. Another data to be recorded in Smart SIM is the track record, which is experienced by the user. In addition, the Smart SIM can also function as electronic money to pay parking, toll, or shopping. The owner of the Smart SIM can deposit maximally 2 million rupiah. The Smart SIM also presents augmented reality feature which can be used by the user to access traffic safety education service. The modification of the Smart SIM also changes in appearance or design. The card is red-white color and with the caption Indonesia on the top. Then, the identities of the SIM owner such as name, place of birth, blood type, gender, address, and occupation are printed. There are also two photos of the owner. One of the photos is in color, while another one is black and white at the bottom right corner. At the back of the Smart SIM, it is in white color. If anyone does not have the driving license yet, he or she can directly apply Smart SIM, but the old owner can have the Smart SIM when he or she extends his or her driving license. To get the Smart SIM, applicant must register through SIM online service on website of sim.korlantas.polri.go.id. After all the registration forms are filled in, the applicant will receive pay registration code. The payment can be through ATM, mBanking, until Internet Banking, BRI, with maximal time 3 hours after registration. After the payment is finished, registration code will be received through SMS and email. Therefore, the applicant does not need to queue up when registration. In addition, the applicant must follow a series of publishing procedures of the driving license, such as identification, verification, theory test, driving skills test, to ordinary traffic. That was our segment for today, Miss Lenny. Thanks for listening.
bagaikan hampa tanpamu. Hidup ini tak akan berarti jika kau tak ada di sisiku. Walau apapun yang menghalangi, sayangku takkan pernah berubah. Hanya kamu di hatiku selamanya. Aku sangat mencintaimu, ku kan setia untukmu, selalu menjagamu. Oh, 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 oh. Aku sangat menyayangimu sepenuh hati. Sakit hatimu kan ku obati, sedih dan senangku bersamamu. Setiap langkahku mencintaimu. Walau apapun yang menghalangi, sayangku takkan pernah berubah. Hanya kamu di hatiku selamanya. Aku sangat mencintaimu, ku kan setia untukmu, selalu menjaga.
Besides many informations, we have presented various musics. And next, we still have one more, and it will be in the music corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present a song by Nike Ardila entitled Bintang Kehidupan. Since she firstly met a famous producer, Dedi Dores, when participating at the singing festival, Nike Ardila was acknowledged to have potential talent. Nike Ardila's albums also mostly contain with songs composed by Dedi Dores. Nike's first album, titled Seberkasinar, has raised her name in the Indonesian music industry. After success of the first album, at the end of 1989, Nike released an album titled Bintang Kehidupan. This album was not only famous in Indonesia, but also in the Southeast Asian region. Nike then more famous, and she was able on par with other top singers in Indonesia. One of the leading songs in the album was Bintang Kehidupan. The song created by Dedy Dores by carrying out the slow rock genre. The song Bintang Kehidupan tells the story of someone who is lonely since she no longer trusts the love. However, she believes someday someone will come and make her happy. Listener, here is Bintang Kehidupan by Nika Ardila. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
It appears it is time for me to say goodbye, but do not forget to send your comments, questions, or anything you want to say about what you have listened from us. Please send it to our email, voi@voinews.id, voi@voinews.id. And also do not forget to click like and also comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. From The Voice of Indonesia, we still have much more information for you, but maybe it is not in English. But stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.